Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Gifts have been unwrapped, and I'm in talking with some of the Treehouse parents this week. It's good to see a few Treehouse folks in here today. Thank you for coming and supporting Mr. Dave. But I anticipated that most of the some assembly required folks would not be here today. I think I'm grateful that we're past that stage, because there are some of those things that are put together that I think it would be easier to put together a car by IKEA than some of the stuff that these things do. Think about that for just a moment. How many of you remember a toy or gift that was given to you when you were 8 or 9 years old? We may remember one or two things. I do. I mean, I remember one or two, and I've gotten a lot of gifts in my life, but I do remember a couple significant ones I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. But, you know, we remember one or two, but the things that we thought we couldn't live without are long forgotten. The home videos on AFV of kids opening presents. I'd like to see it a year from now. You know, where that toy is, and if there, or that gift or whatever. Now, I get it. I in a previous life, I used to buy ad specialty stuff. That's gizmos and doodads that had, like, Polyguard and Builders Hardware, the different companies that I worked on. And I've purchased pins. Some of you have some of those fine Oakwood Community Church pins back there, and if you have one, you're welcome. I purchased those a number of months ago, and when I did that, I realized my name is on a mailing list, and particularly this one company that sells a lot of ad specialties. And it's not a Christmas gift that I got, but I'm going to show you a gift that is going to be very meaningful to me for a number of years to come. And so about every other month, I get an envelope that's got a sample of something that this company is now trying to promote. Most of the time, it's a pin, a different style of pin, and it has, they always run a sample on there that says Oakwood Community Church, Tampa, Florida, or Oakwood with our website, that kind of thing. And as I say, most of the time, it's pins. Well, about a month ago, I got an envelope, and it was much bigger than a pin. And I opened it, and I was glad I was sitting down, because I died laughing. And this is what I received that has Oakwood Community Church on it. Now, Floridians be like, what in the world is that? Now, I've traveled enough. I lived in Florida all my life, but I've traveled enough to know that, and to use one of these. You guys know what this is. I have the only ice scraper with the Oakwood Community Church name written on it. This is going to stay in my office, and if anybody walks out with this, I will hunt you down. Gifts. We get them unexpected. Some of us will be at the mall tomorrow, or some store, ready to exchange the gift or something in our size we would use. And we sometimes ask in our mind, looking at a gift, we smile and we think, what were they thinking? You've gotten those gifts, so have I. Or we'll put those gifts away thinking we might use them at some point, only to find them 7 months from now and decide to give that gift for that person whose birthday party you're going to and you forgot to get them a gift, and last moment you wrap this up and you take it. You're not going to take the ice scraper, I can assure you that. Or, even better, you'll re-gift next Christmas. We had our white elephant exchange in our community group a week ago Thursday night. I can assure you there's one or two things that are going to be re-gifted in our white elephant. Yeah, Danielle's doing a woo-hoo back there. Well, I remember a gift that I received from my grandfather. He got me my first baseball glove. And this was very special, because it was purchased at a sporting goods shop and not a department store. I was about 8 or 9. And back in the day, there were only a couple small family-owned sporting goods shops that sold legitimate stuff. Florida Sporting Goods downtown on Florida Avenue, as a matter of fact. It was a treat when my dad would take me down there once every 4 to 6 weeks and buy me something to fuel my baseball fever. My granddad bought me this glove, though. He took me down there and he bought it, and it was special for two reasons. First, I love baseball, and second, I love my granddad. My granddad's name, I called him Pop. And Pop died way too young. He died in his mid-50s. I was 10 years old when he died. love Jesus, so I'm going to get to see him one day, and I'm grateful for that. He never really got to see me use the glove very much. I still have it today. And every time I look at it, I think of my granddad. How about you? Do you remember some gifts that you received that were special because of the person who gave it? Was there ever a time when you received a gift that was a bit of a surprise on who it came from? I got one this year from someone that we're fairly close to, again, fueling my baseball fever. They know we're collecting stadiums. Martha and I are collecting baseball stadiums. And I got this package, and I opened it up, and it's a book. It's the Baseball Stadium Travel Guide. And they also sent along a map. I've now had it posted in my office with little dots on the stadiums that we've already collected. That came out of the blue from someone that I didn't even expect. What a surprise. Well, in the book of John, there's a circumstance where someone received a gift that came from someone they didn't expect. Look at John 4, 7 through 10. Now, the context here is Jesus and his disciples have traveled quite a ways. Jesus stops, and he's hanging out at a well, the water source. And the disciples have gone on to get some food in the next town, and this is the interaction that he has. It says, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. If you only knew the gift. The Greek word there for the gift means present. It literally means present, a gift that is given with no expectation of return. But what kind of gift is this? Jesus gives an answer that matches the need of the moment. He says he will give living water that he later in the passage describes as water that will quench your thirst forever. Well, what else makes this gift so special? The writer of the book of John finishes his book by talking about that all of the things that would be recorded about Jesus couldn't be contained in every book, every facet of this gift that we have been given. We're going to get to spend an eternity learning about this gift. And on this side of eternity, we can continue to strive to learn and know what this gift and who this gift is to us. The first thing I propose to you is that God gives us the bread and water of life in Jesus Christ. That sounds kind of dull. Kind of like getting socks instead of an iPhone 82. But look at what Jesus tells this woman. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. A couple chapters over, he says he's talking to a group of religious people and many, thousands of people, and he's communicating this truth. He says, that he replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Again, sounds kind of dull, bread and water. But someone who needs those in the worst way, for someone, that's manna from heaven. That's the stuff that sustains. This past Tuesday and Wednesday night, Dave Hill and Arnie Mejias and I went down to the Metropolitan Ministries tent that they do every year around Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we were blessed to work in the prayer chapel. Every client that comes, and I think they tend to probably, 5,000 to 6,000 people during the season. Every one of the people who come down to pick up their food, and in this case in Christmas, also toys if they signed up for it, are given a card that is a prayer request and I'm thankful for card like this. Many fill it out, many don't. And that's okay. And they will bring it by the chapel, and we'll ask them if they'd like to pray about it. Well, we got there Thursday afternoon, first thing at 4 o'clock, and a gal came up to us at the door of the chapel. We were kind of waiting for the previous guys to finish. There's a group of churches that do this, and our shift was like 4 to 6, and so we got there a little early. And this gal came by, and she said, I'd like to fill this out. And I said, okay. And she said, I don't have a pen. I said, well, there's a pen in here. So it was this is very different. She actually went in and sat down and started filling the card out. And I peeked in there, you know, every now and then, and she was in there for a little while. And there's Kleenex in there. We get some folks who just want to tell their story, and we get to share the love of Jesus Christ with them and tell them how Jesus can be this water and bread to them. And I noticed that she grabbed a Kleenex a couple times just as she's writing the card. That was a first for me. As she's filling out the card, she's tearing up. And I walked in and I said, you know, can I pray with you? And she said, well, I just wanted to write down that last year at this time, the day that she was in getting her food from Metropolitan Ministries, she also got an apartment. And before that time, she was homeless. She and her son had been separated because of homelessness. They were living, I guess, with different relatives. And so I asked her, I said, well, I think that's great. And she said, can I pray with you? And she said, my prayers have been answered. Well, I said, well, it's okay to say thanks. And so we stopped and prayed, teared up a little bit, and this is what she said. I'm so thankful for what God has given to me and my son. I was homeless last year. Now my family is back together and we have an apartment. Please, Lord, guide me as you have and give me strength. She wasn't looking for toys or anything that is perishable. She was looking for and got from God a grace that she just wanted to say thank you to a year later. I reminded her of the story of the lepers, 10 people who were healed. 9 ran off just jumping and hooting and hollering. One turned around and said, you know, I need to say thanks. And this woman came in just to say thanks. I was moved by that. Most of you recognize Jesus right here in this passage is talking about the most important things that sustain and never wear out. And this is so counter to how we live. Many stand in line to get the latest fad thing. You know what the latest thing is with kids? Have you heard about these Hatchimals? Everybody know what's going on with the Hatchimals? I see some people laughing, yeah. Hey, old dude keeps up with fads with kids, you know? Come on. Hatchimals are, you know, it's this year's thing. Next year, it'll probably be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.0 or 3.0 or 4.0, whatever edition they have out. It'll be something different, but Hatchimals is the thing. And they did a report on the news, and parents are stepping on one another to get to these things. That 6 months from now, many will be put up in an attic or in a closet and won't be played with again. For adults, it amazes me that so many would stand in line at the Apple store to get the latest iPhone. I'm not picking on Apple, Terry. I promise I'm not. I'm talking about the humans who find themselves in need. I need an iPhone 7. 3 years ago, I gotta have a Samsung Galaxy. Yeah, how did that work out? We stand in line, and then 18 months later, we stand in line again when Apple introduces another edition. The list of things we acquire that we think will bring happiness and fulfillment goes on and on and on. Most of you have something stored away in a closet or an attic. I guarantee you, because I do. Like one of my salesmen used to say, I know people because I am one. Some of you have something stored in an attic or a closet that you thought at one point, this is the most essential thing that I need. I've got to have this. And we get it, and we use it for a while, and then we put it away. We can't throw it away because of some of the dollars we spent on it. That would be even more embarrassing. Nothing in this life ever fully satisfies. We need more. Do you know what Bethlehem means? Do you know what the name Bethlehem means? House of bread. Isn't that significant? From this little hometown bakery came the bread that will never mold and always refresh. If you only knew the gift. The second thing I would suppose that gives this gift specialness is the gift of his word. In John 1, he says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus is described as the living, breathing mouthpiece of God. Everything Jesus said was meant to point us to a new way of living. He said it to help us understand what it means to live a full and joy-filled life in spite of all the garbage we encounter here on earth. He said many things to help us understand how we can live, really, really live here on earth, and how we can live forever. The disciples are always intriguing to me. Simon Peter probably I appreciate more than anyone because he just had an innate ability to stick his foot in his mouth constantly. I can relate to that. The mind is in second gear and the mouth is in fourth gear. But there is some times that Peter gets it, and this is one of those times. He learned his lesson and was clear when he was asked by Jesus. John also records a few chapters later in John 6 that Jesus had hundreds of followers, maybe a few thousand. The beginning of chapter 6 tells us there was a feeding of 5,000. You remember the story, the little guy comes, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, yada, yada, yada. Don't want to diminish that, but the key to my point is that there were probably up to 20,000 people that ate that day. Many of those folks pursued Jesus. He went across in a boat. They went around the lake. You know, they wanted to catch up to him. Jesus began to teach in a way that they had not heard. They followed because they thought they would get fed again and see more miracles. But Jesus had other plans. These people are even described as disciples in chapter 6 of John. Until the challenge began to get hard. In verse 60, this verse is always challenged me. In verse 60, it says, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it this way. He says, many among his disciples heard this and said, this is a tough teaching, too tough to swallow. Now, I'll talk more about that in just a minute, but Peter's response is key here. He says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus' words give eternal life. If you only knew the gift. One thing that intrigues me about the interaction with Jesus and the woman at the well, did you note her response? Did you note her response? After all the things Jesus said to her, he addresses her wonder of why he would ask her for water, her request for that living water. Jesus is telling her about her personal life. You ought to read that. It's fascinating. He's telling her about her personal life that only he would know, and his instruction about what true worship is. She says this. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Here she has the Messiah standing right in front of her and didn't even recognize him. She thought Jesus a prophet, but that's as far as she would go. Why do you suppose she responded like this? Isn't that intriguing? He looked right into her soul, into her mind, identified her personal life, and yet she is saying, there's going to be one to come, and he'll tell us. Although this woman was a Samaritan, many Samaritans had some knowledge of Jewish teaching. One commentator put it this way, though they did not receive the prophetic writings, yet the tradition of the advent of the Messiah, which was common among the Jews and founded on promises contained even in the book of Moses, was generally received by among the Samaritans also. You see, the Samaritans were also anticipating a Messiah. I believe this woman did not immediately recognize who Jesus was because she had a skewed view of the Messiah. Last night, as Edson said, John talked about expectations. I believe that this woman had a skewed expectation of the Messiah to come. And I would dare say everyone sitting here has an expectation of God and who God is. And in most cases, it is skewed. Much of it was from the limited knowledge she may have had from Jewish teaching and traditions. Some of it was probably driven by her surroundings and life events. Jesus was very different from what she was expecting. The same is true in John 6. Look at what it says. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Wait a minute. We were just enjoying a great meal. We were watching miracles. We had a dinner theater going on here. And now you're talking about this stuff, this strange stuff that we need to eat and drink? This is not what we expected. Even with the disciples, their view of the Messiah was messed up. Look in Matthew 20. This is something that it was interesting to discover. It says, "Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to hear Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. 'What is your request?' he asked. She replied, 'In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left.' Jesus answered them by saying, 'You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?' 'Oh, yes,' they replied. 'Yeah, we're able.' I've thought this sad because I've always thought that was an interaction between a mother and Jesus until I saw that phrase in there that says, 'with her two.' James and John were standing right there. That astounds me. They've already gone through, seen, heard, listened, and yet they're still thinking about, man, I want to be royalty. I want to sit at the right and left hand of the one who's the king. They didn't even begin to understand what Jesus was saying until after Jesus rose from the grave and the Holy Spirit was introduced on the day of Pentecost. And then reality set in, and it's great to read the book of Acts and know that James and John and Peter and all those guys really got it. Now, before we become too critical of these people from the Bible, I would suggest we suffer the same challenge. I've come to understand and see how much culture affects our view of Jesus. In the last 6 years, I've been blessed to go to Cameroon, Honduras twice, and Haiti. Some of you, Greg's been to more countries than that. Some of you have been to more countries than that. And it's clear that Jesus is viewed very differently in those countries. Would you not agree, Craig? And I would suggest some in those countries see the Jesus of the Bible more clearly than we do. So how do you see this gift, this Jesus? In the West, particularly in the U.S., God is seen as either a blessing dispenser or grandfatherly type, which to some is the same thing. I know some of you grandparents, and I have seen you with your grandkids. Yes, that is a chuckle. If the only prayer you pray is for health and safety, you have the wrong expectation of God, and you have a skewed view of Jesus Christ. There are millions around the world, and many of us wear this band to remind us that there are millions around the world today who have neither health or safety, and yet are still trusting Jesus with their lives. Their view of this gift is quite different than that. Some of us here today have never received this free gift from God. You've had it handed to you, and you don't even know how to unwrap it. There's some here today who will help you and teach you and tell you how. Jesus came to earth to live an exemplary life and to save those far from his Father. He died on a cross for the sins of the world, and that includes you and me. He was put in the grave, but he didn't stay there. In 3 days, he rose from the dead to show power over death and sin. He offers us the same life power if we accept his desire to be the forgiver and leader of our lives. That is the good news. As Rob said last week, Jesus offers good news, not good advice. Jesus is that gift to all who would receive. If you have never received that gift, if you've heard this story 1,000 times and it's still a challenge to you, but you're willing to say, I would like to receive that gift. I would love to talk with you after the service. And John Schneider's over here. We got Edson and several of our elders, several people. If someone brought you today, just mention it to them that you'd like to ask some questions about that. I would love to answer them. If you only knew the gift, if you only knew the gift. For some here today, the gift has lost its luster. Some of us have been Christ followers way too long. This gift is something we no longer cherish because the cares of life have caused us to forget how great a gift this is. I encourage those who have forgotten how great the living water and bread of life are to remember when you first learned and accepted this gift and refocus your life on the eternal worth of knowing Jesus Christ. If you only remember the gift. Going to go old school today. This is a video. Please forgive the datedness of it, but it's by a rocker named Randy Stonehill, a rocker from back in the day. Some of you remember. Some of you who are my age. And yeah, let's hear it. You only knew the gift. This gift is the most special gift of all time because of what it is and who gives it to us. Let's pray. Happy birthday. Thank you for your grace and your gift to us for the greatest gift ever of a life. Thank you that we get to remember that today, and then we get to remember that blessed day coming up in a few months of the reason that you were born was to die for us, and not just to die, but to live again. May you be honored and blessed in our life, and for those, God, who are still looking for that gift, that one thing that will satisfy. God, may this be the day that they recognize that you satisfy with the ultimate bread and water. And for those of us who have been Christ followers for a while, God, may we express greater appreciation for that gift than we have in a long time. Thank you. Merry Christmas and happy birthday. Amen.